Rangers Rambles.
Hello, and welcome to the Furry Raiders podcast, the last episode of the year 2018. I am Jolt, chief host of the show, and joining me is none other than my co-host, Avira.
Hey everyone, it's me, your resident candy corn doggo.
Next up, we have another returning host, Misfit.
Wow.
No, that's like, that's the name that goes on your thing. You
know. Is it on? Is that what's on my thing? Oh yes, hi.
And last of all, we have a first timer on the show. You go by Kizzy, right?
Yeah.
Introduce yourself and just say a little fun fact.
Hi, I'm Dylan or Kizzy. Yeehaw.
So far, so all right, though. Yeah, I mean, it's a shame that we've had a few little teething problems. And we're starting a tiny bit late. And as it stands, now, this is, like I said, we're going to do this episode while waving goodbye to 2018. The highlights, the lowlights, everything in between, the best moments and not so great moments in furry and in our group. I know we've been through quite a lot.
Absolutely. This past year has been quite the ride, honestly. A lot of stuff happened.
I know. I mean, I remember it all. I mean, January, things started amazingly well. We had it all. A Discord where we basically just had lit voice chats, a website to call ourselves home. Just, and everything was just gelled together.
I don't think I knew about you guys at that time.
I think I've been here like 2 months, so I don't know what any of you are talking about.
I joined midway through the summer, I believe.
Either way, but that was then, and then eventually we eventually got booted out of Discord, pretty much. And that kind of just forced us to basically find a new home, and here we are.
And currently, we are still in the process of rebuilding the website, as well as our merchandising store.
We're doing just that, too. And also, we're always on the lookout for building platforms as well.
Indeed.
And from then on, what other highlights did we have in furry or in the group? Because I know the cons we went to, you moreover were highlights as well.
There were quite quite some things, interesting things happened this year. For me, I would say and all of us really, this was the first time we ever saw the Nazi Furs F Off ribbons pop up at AnthroCon, and then they started to spread to other conventions, and now this is a thing. So that caused quite a bit of controversy, and this only just started back in July, or like early July, late June. So that's interesting. Kind of shows the infiltration of the SJWs into our fandom.
I mean, heck, they're gonna carry this through all the way from 2019 onwards.
I mean, who knows? Who knows how far it's gonna go?
It's gonna be a fun year, lads.
It will. I mean, 2019 can go in all directions.
Yeah.
Oh, and another thing that happened this year is that MFF surpassed AnthroCon as the largest furry convention in the world. Right? Was that this year or was that last year? I think it was this year.
I think that was last year.
Well, okay. Well, whatever. Okay, this year, MFF was the first furry convention ever to surpass 10,000 attendees. Okay. That's what I meant to say. That's pretty crazy, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
10,000 furries like in one place? Like, what the heck? My goodness.
Remember, no Russian.
I mean, it just goes to show at this stage, like, I mean, furries projected to grow. Most all conventions are expected to grow by the number now.
Right, right. And they really all have been growing. There are a couple conventions out there that did have some problems. Of course, Rainforest and FAU, they were dropping in membership for quite some time. But overall, on average, most fur cons have been growing in membership all over the world. And new ones are starting up as well.
Yeah, that's exactly the trend that we're heading towards, really. Suffice it to say, I'd hate to use the M word here, but it kind of is where we're heading towards. And that M word is mainstream.
Oh no.
And that's gonna ruin us.
Yes, and that also has to do with the whole, you know, PC culture infecting the fandom. Just this year, at Euroference, they released in their con book the rules and regulations. And they specifically said that we are a left-leaning political convention, that they don't accept any right-wing ideas at all. So it's stuff like that that's kind of changing the way that conventions are acting. And especially like we also got some new rules for MFF, which was copyright laws in regards to things like Disney or other characters from video games. So basically they tried to ban fan art. Now let's hope that other conventions don't adopt this.
Or just crumble under the exact same pressure that they did.
That's right. But Jolt, like you said, about the whole idea of being mainstream, that's what people who run these conventions have to think about, because they are, you know, becoming a lot more known about, and people want to cash in, especially large companies that might own certain characters and don't want people selling t-shirts or plushies showing their characters.
Yeah, there's that too, but at this stage, I mean, what's the next thing that's going to happen? FurCon's being sponsored?
Maybe.
I mean, in an odd way, they already are through, you know, different, you know, fundraisers and all that. I think it's more, well, a convention sponsoring the fundraiser, wouldn't that be?
Yeah, well...
Yeah, yeah.
And speaking of, like, Disney copywriting stuff and all that, there's lots of fur shooters. Well, no, was Zootopia was a Disney thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of fur shooters out there who are, you know, Nick and Judy. So I said one of my friends who goes by, he has his own Dutch Angel Dragon suit now. He goes by the name Typhoon. He's going to eventually give me his old Nick fursuit, which, by the way, is actually really good looking. I'll have that at PFC. What's to stop Disney from saying, hey, you can't wear that, that's our copyrighted material?
That's exactly the point, yeah. Now, the thing is, if you're making money from it, then they could probably do something about it. Like, if you were to take that fursuit and sell it to someone, technically you're selling a copyrighted property. Mm-hmm. So, and that's kind of the problems that we've seen starting to happen in our community, because, you know, larger conventions are starting to, adopt these trademarks and copyright rules. Almost because, like, they kind of have to. And I hate to say that, but it seems like that's the case. Mm-hmm. So that's really what's been going on in this past year. And also in the past year, I'd like to say, when I first joined the Furry Raiders back in November 7th, we had 189 members. Now we're at almost 300, or about 287 as it stands. So our group has grown quite a bit in just the past year alone, which is incredible. So I just wanted to mention how awesome that was.
Yeah, we'll take some fluctuations. Otherwise, we're doing quite well. There's people around in other groups, like in the Facebook
Yeah, of course. There was always some fluctuations, but
again, indeed, I'm quite glad we're basically right where we are right now, right where we want to be.
Yeah.
And maybe in the next couple of years, we'll be seeing a bit more and more growth as well, like especially with the current climate.
Yeah, of course.
Indeed. Also, there's some not so great things which I did want to touch on. Namely, due to the fact that there's been a couple of deaths in and around, right?
Unfortunately, yes. Now, I guess I'll talk about this. So, for outside the fandom, creator-wise, we've lost Stefan Hellenberg, creator of SpongeBob, and Stan Lee, obviously creator of Marvel. And when it comes to furries, this year we've lost someone named Marco the Rat. He died, unfortunately, after battling cancer. Another individual, Fred Patton, who is the legend himself. I mean, he really did a lot for our fandom. You know, he was there from the very beginning, you know, documenting, and he's written a lot of books. And he died of stroke complications. And a close friend of mine, R.C. Fox, committed suicide in March. Mm-hmm. So, it's just a few people that we've lost this year.
It's indeed a shame that such has these things do happen, whether for well, for good, for ill.
Yeah. And of course, there's also been some pretty crazy drama going on in this fandom recently. Obviously, about 4 months ago, there was this Kuro incident, which caused a whole uproar on YouTube. Everyone's making videos about it. After all this drama even happened, Carthrix, a popular furry YouTuber, decided to actually leave the fandom because he was just so done with being a furry. Like, he just got to that point. So it really has been extremely eventful. And we still don't really know much about Kuro's situation. So it's hard to speculate. But it has just caused a lot of divisions in the community.
Last I knew, he was being investigated. That's all I remember.
That's really all it is, though. But I'm going to say at this point is just wait until the results are posted.
I'm very adamant that anyone who's watching, anyone who reviews this afterwards, believes in innocent until proven guilty. If you believe in guilty until proven innocent, you're going to have the wrong mindset looking into a case. Especially if you're, you know, one of the lawyers or a cop or something, or a witness, you're going to have the wrong mindset and you're going to see someone good put in jail for something they didn't do.
That's right. And especially when it comes to mob mentality, like how this entire fandom reacted to the situation. And even RC as well. I mean, everyone turned their back on him. He had, like, basically zero friends left, except for me and a couple other people. In Kuro's case, he still has a lot of subscribers, and he's still trying to do his best. So, you know, we just gotta wait it out and just see what happens to him.
Yeah, I can commend him for at least trying.
I'll just be right back.
Yeah.
Well, keep the thing going. Go to the new topics if you need to. But yeah, in a sec.
We can move on to it. We should move on to a news topic now. Get those out of the way.
Alright.
What should we start with?
Should we begin with the FurCon or the emotional support chicken?
I think we should start with the chicken because everyone's going to want to know about that.
Alright, so I guess I'll initiate this.
Alright.
So an airline, Popeyes isn't an airline, but there's an airline where Popeyes is providing emotional support chicken, which is fried chicken in a biscuit, put in a chicken-shaped box, following restrictions on emotional support animals.
I guess it's technically not an animal.
I mean, well, to some degrees, it is an animal.
It's not a living one.
It's your buddy.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't want some emotional support fried chicken? I'd take some emotional support fried chicken.
I mean, I don't know, man. If I'm ever feeling tense on an airplane, there's nothing I want more than to shove my face into some greasy food.
Except you know at some point some vegan group is going to complain about it.
Probably. About being forced to sit next to someone eating it or something like that.
Well, you have to remember the real reason they actually did this was because several airlines were cracking down on emotional support animals. Now, these things are allowed on planes, but the problem is people were abusing this. You know, they would bring their cat on there. And, oh, it's my emotional support cat. And, you know, instead of putting them in, like, you know, how they normally transport animals, like, beneath the plane, you know, they're like, oh, this is my emotional support parrot or my emotional support dog. Now, yes, there are legitimate cases for that, but do you guys remember this year what happened? Somebody brought their emotional support fox to a convention.
Oh, no.
Do you remember?
I don't think I heard about that.
All right. I forgot which convention this was. I think it was FWA, but don't quote me on that. Basically, a furry brought his pet fox to a convention and said it was his emotional support animal, and he called it a dog, and you know, because it was like a weird breed of like Russian fox, it looked like a dog kind of, but like not really, and he totally lied about it. So you know, I mean, I'm just saying, this is one of those weird cases where, you know, people could totally abuse the idea of support animals, but in this case Popeyes was realizing that you know what, if they're gonna say you can't bring support animals at all on planes anymore, well, we're just gonna make this chicken box.
It almost seems a bit of a joke, as if they're giving us some.
I can see another problem with it. Some groups are gonna come out and say, "Oh, it's, you know, insulting fat people or promoting stress eating, etc., etc."
Oh yeah, the emotional support of food.
Yeah, which I feel like I wouldn't say I'm a stress eater, but I do eat a lot.
But someone making fun of a few regulations being put into place.
Yeah,
is it particularly?
Yeah, someone's going to find problems with it. They're going to be.
It's going to be nitpicked, problems
that aren't really there. Like, you know,
people who will find problems with this are probably oversensitive SJWs. Oh, this is my emotional support animal. How dare you mock this? I need this for support and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, Popeyes did this totally as a joke just to stick it to, you know, the airlines that are cracking down on fake support animals. It's a very weird situation.
I find it entertaining that Popeyes is taking a stance on such a thing, though. Someone trying to serve chicken, and they're just like, "Yeah, let's take a stance on these regulations, shall we?"
Yeah, it's free promotion for them and free chicken for you.
Oh, and it's totally genius how they have it like in a chicken-shaped box. Oh my god, I love it. That's so funny.
What's our next story? What should we move on to next? I think we should go on to the Bambi. Can I leave that?
Go ahead.
Sure.
Okay, so in Missouri, a man was arrested for poaching over the course of multiple years. Stories have been gathering evidence on him over that time. Him, some family members, and several other friends. After being convicted, all of them were sent to jail, him and multiple friends, but the main man, what was his name, David Berry Jr., was handed the unusual sentencing of once every month for his year-long sentence, he has to watch the movie Bambi, the Disney movie Bambi.
This is ordered by the judge as well.
Yes, this was ordered by the judge.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So it's legally required that this man watches Bambi once a month.
Yes. His first viewing must. His first viewing, I think, is. Yeah, his first viewing must be on or before December 23rd, 2018. So the conviction was this month.
Hmm.
Wow. So he's sitting in a jail right now, and he's probably watching Bambi.
That isn't that bad of a punishment, to be fair. I mean, it's making him think of what he did, but.
But in the United States, for anyone who's not from the U.S., we have a constitutional law, you know, it's part of our constitution, that you cannot give someone a cruel or unusual punishment. This would constitute an unusual punishment, which I'm pretty sure he can eventually take it to the Supreme Court.
I mean, it's pretty unusual, but I gotta say, it's pretty damn funny.
It is funny, but then the question falls onto the morality of quote-unquote custom punishments.
Yeah,
either or not, that's okay.
There's a reason why we don't go cutting the hands off of people who steal stuff. It's a cruel or unusual punishment.
Or throwing them naked in the street. This isn't nearly as bad, but it still sets a precedent of judges just choosing whatever.
Yes.
Well, but the thing is, I think this is not a big deal. Honestly, I think this is a pretty good idea for a punishment, especially for this guy who is a deer poacher. You know what? Oh, darn. You can watch Bambi every month. I mean, sure, it's unusual, but is it really, like, harming him?
Well, I don't think the concern... I don't think the concern is of it harming people so much as just, again, the precedent being set of punishments that don't fall into anything official. It's not that it's particularly a harmful punishment. It's just not
anything. It's not the event itself. It's the message it's sending to other judges that they could do something similar to that, and it's just it's wrong. He shouldn't have gotten that punishment. I would get it if you gave him, you know, an extra year compared to the rest of his cohorts. I would understand that. I would get it if you gave him a fine or made him have to do a community service at like a wildlife reserve. I would get that.
Well, those are all legally accepted punishments. Those aren't unusual.
I don't know, man. I gotta say, I disagree. I think if I were this guy, instead of getting 2 years in jail, I would rather get 1 year and then have to watch Bambi once a month. I mean, that does not sound as bad to me.
But you don't want to punish him the way that the offender wants to be punished. You want to punish him in a way that will make them realize what they did is bad. You don't want to pamper them. I have seen Bambi. Bambi's not going to do that. After like a couple showings, he's going to get used to it and then just be annoyed out of his mind. It's an unusual punishment. It's unconstitutional. And even though I wholeheartedly agree the guy should be thrown in jail, you know, he did something bad, he shouldn't have received such a punishment.
Yeah, the issue again here is not the punishment itself. It's just the fact that it is unconstitutional and unusual.
He may be a criminal, but he still has rights.
Again, it isn't so bad to actually be forced to watch Bambi, but
it's the message it sends.
Yeah,
it is. But this isn't the only judge who's done this. There's been quite a few judges. I know there was like this one famous case of a judge who made someone wear a sign around their neck saying "I'm a thief, don't trust me" or something crazy like that, instead of going to jail. He's like famous for giving out weird punishments.
That's a cruel or unusual punishment.
Yeah. He's done some pretty weird things. I don't necessarily have his name or any links to it, but if you could probably just Google judge who gives out weird punishments, and I'm sure he's going to come up because he's like pretty famous, and he's done things like this before. So he probably set the precedent for this judge to be like, you know what? Why don't you do this? And who knows?
The only thing that didn't surprise me about this article is that it didn't start with Florida man.
That is definitely
Florida man masturbates to Bambi.
Well,
that's how you get taken down off of YouTube.
Or labeled as explicit. Good job.
No.
Look at this. Come on, guys. I mean, Bambi. It is so sad. I don't care how many times.
Okay, first of all, can I just say that deer looks violated?
It's a very perfect expression for the thing. And look at it. I get a Bambi advertisement at the Breitbart.
It's not an advertisement. It's the video of the conviction.
Oh.
Oh. Okay.
It really sounds fitting, though.
Yeah, that's the man. That's the man who has to watch it every month.
Don't you ever change.
So, Jolt, I wanted to get your opinion on this. Do you think that this is a bad punishment to get, or do you think it's this is like okay for judges to do?
Let me clarify. Jolt, before you speak, let me clarify what Aviar should have said. Do you think it's a cruel or unusual punishment, which is part of our constitution, or do you think it's an okay thing to do?
I think it's unusual.
Okay. I think it's unusual too, but I also think it's acceptable. It like within the realm of possibility.
I'd like to just say that, you know, if you give this, it's a sort of, you know, give him an inch, he'll take a mile type thing. You let the judge get away with this one thing, he'll keep doing it again.
Yeah, that's the issue with principles, is that once you set it, they'll be able to keep on pushing it, which is the part of concern.
Which is, you could say that about many problems in our country right now, especially gun laws.
Any country, to be fair.
Yeah, any country, really. Give them an inch, they'll take a mile.
Just the way that people and principles work as a whole.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's like David Hogg's slogan. You give us an inch, we will take a mile.
Is he even relevant anymore? Did the Democrats drop him yet?
Who cares?
I'm pretty sure they dropped him almost as hard as they dropped Ford.
Oh,
that was spicy.
I'm not going to speak about it, but they dropped her so hard. Okay, next one.
They threw her away. Like the garbage liar she was.
They threw her away just like Kavanaugh did.
Also, I'll get some live comments up.
Oh, yeah.
Says, send that poacher to the DPRK. Okay, now that's going a little bit far, don't you think?
Yikes.
Vox Carter Husky says, make him be a dog reader at Walmart.
that's not the worst punishment ever, because usually the people who are taking that job are people who can't get any other job in the world.
Or they're like retired and they have nothing else to do except stand and wave at people and smile.
Yeah, they're either the nicest, kindest, you know, elderly people on the earth, or they're the most bitter, you know, disabled people ever.
One of the two. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, though, I do, while we have time, while we have a little bit of time around here, I want to cover just a little bit of a funny news article as well that just popped up that you find hilarious.
What'd you find?
It's a bit of
the drugs.
Aquarium apologized for calling otter fat in problematic African American vernacular.
I saw that on Twitter. Because, like, if anyone knows who Count Dankula is, he was talking about it a little bit.
Yeah. And look at what the aquarium said.
Thick girl. What an absolute unit. She chonk. Look at the size of this lady.
Oh, Lord, she coming.
Another internetism.
That's a very cute fat otter. I have to say that.
Yeah.
That's adorable.
It is. And, you know, oh my God. I mean, it's chubby. Kind of a blob.
Chubby animals are cute. They're not candy.
So there's going to be backlash over an aquarium talking black on Twitter. Every single black Twitter user ever talks like that regularly.
No, that's not talking black. That's talking meme. That's like meme. Like 4chan, you know.
I think people are just mad about the "oh lord, she coming."
They're mad about calling the otter fat.
No. Don't try to ascribe a race to the otter.
Yeah, right? Like...
The race of fat. Oh no.
Don't fat shame the otter.
They might as well be. Positive. Yeah, that's pretty much it. They're just more body positivity stuff.
And the thing is, it's not wrong to call this otter fat. Look at this blob. He's a fat otter. Okay, so what? That's a descriptive term. Look at the thing.
We call you people fat. I mean, what's the problem with that? By you people, I mean, you know, fat acceptance.
No, you can fat shame us filthy Nazis, but you may not fat shame this otter.
You know, yeah.
And candy followed them to that.
What I was disappointed about was that the aquarium pretty much folded like a cheap suit under
points. I think it was like less than a day between their original tweet and the apology. Can you check the dates on the original tweet?
December 19th.
Your backbone weaker today. Than paper.
Was it more than one day?
Yeah, give or take. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, it's just done by people who would not visit the aquarium in the first place. That they wouldn't even care about the otter.
I bet you the people that complained never have been to that aquarium. Or never have even been to an aquarium.
They would not care about the otter.
You go to a better aquarium, like the Boston Aquarium. Which I think, if I ever go down there again, I'm dragging Candy with me, by the way.
Oh, that sounds fun. I do like the aquarium. Actually, there's one by me called Atlantis. They have like manta rays and stuff, and
the Boston
show. It's really cool. Actually, when I was in the Boy Scouts, we slept over there like overnight, like in the aquarium, which was pretty wild.
The Boston Aquarium and the Boston Museum of Science are both really amazing. I'm going to drag you there someday.
Okay.
Someone drag me anywhere. Now, I'm alone.
Now we're just making Otter Worlds in the live chat. As this says, Super Mario Otter World.
I just want otter memes. Okay. Okay.
I mean, say what you will, but I just look at that otter one. Look. It just charmed my way into it.
Yeah, it's just a blob, and you know, to say, oh, it's a fat otter, like, you know, you're not wrong. It is.
It's like calling a fat cat a fat.
I mean, here's the thing, that otter is basically better than so much of the thing are like the people that they would, you know, you describe to as thick.
Yeah, but I'm wondering who actually is offended by this. You called that otter fat. That means you're offending me. Like,
I think it's more cares? Like, you know,
it's the words they use
as well.
It's the fact that they used words that are used by the people that hate the fat community.
Or the thing Or the
words like chonk and thick and all that. Those are words that you commonly find used by, you know, very meme loving people.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't love memes? I love a good meme.
Very, very
people sensitive. Who are made fun of by memes, yeah, such as exactly. That acceptance community.
Alright. So, we'll move on to the next item here. And that's the bit of an issue surrounding Further Confusion's Code of Conduct for 2019.
Mm. So, who wants to head this one?
Read the bits of code of conduct, but at the same time, they've basically done it because they're doing this not only to appeal to the younger people, but also to, you know, to so-called make it family-friendly and so forth.
Make it family-friendly by censoring.
Yeah, I mean, look at the costume section. Blah, blah, blah. Collars, leashes, and sled dog-like harnesses may be worn either with costumes or discreetly in normal street living. Overt and related displays of bondage.
Now, the thing that, about this that might actually affect us directly is when they said clothes, clothing and behavior and safety or whatever, they were saying things that could be offensive, you know, perceived as hate speech. For instance, if a furry raider were to wear an armband at this convention, could we be banned for that because people perceive it to be a bad thing?
That's a very real possibility.
I will answer that question for you right now. The answer is definitely yes.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Yeah.
There we go.
And the thing is about offensive clothing is it is so subjective and vague that they can really just kick out whoever they want.
Exactly.
It's the same thing with actual hate speech laws. Is it just use it when you want?
Like, there's hate speech nowadays is so subjective, and everyone's offended by everything. They see an armband with a paw print in a circle. Oh my god! Ban them!
Oh, by the way, speaking of costumes, I mean the whole, you know, public exposure thing is not permitted, and then some people asking, you know, about padded fursuits with breasts on them.
Yeah. Which, those fursuits are... That's just...
Hello, yeah. Douglas. Welcome. Hello. Oh, okay. Well, that's a little, but you know what? Whatever. I mean, who cares? Am I offended by that? No, I'm not. Am I going
am
to
I weirded out by it? It? Yes.
But am I going to complain about it? No. I mean,
who cares? Are boobs hate speech? That's the question.
It's because well, it's a trend and stuff like that. I mean, would I hug that person? Probably, if they asked. You know, am I going to be weirded out by their suit? Yes. Will I care? No.
No. And that's the thing. You know, there's a lot of fursuits that are suggestive in manners like that. But, like, you know what?
If it's, as long as it's not, as long as it doesn't double as a mersuit, I'm cool with it. You know?
You know, as long as I don't see a male fursuit with an actual, like, dick on it, I think I'm okay.
Basically, you know, genitals. Oh, so you just got us, yeah. But it's listed on iTunes if we weren't already. Good job.
Let me clarify. As long as your suit isn't used in a, you know, a room party for certain things, and you don't use it also around children, yeah, I'm fine. As long as it's not used for, you know, the bad stuff.
Oh yeah, no. If you wear mersuits around children, now we got a bit of a problem.
Yeah, if you wear your mersuit around children, especially after you used it the night before, I don't know what should be done to you, but no.
That's not the issue with this article. This article, what it really is, it's basically just describing the rules, like the new rules of this convention, how they're really trying to, you know, tell you exactly what they want to see and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable according to them. However, there are some subjective things in their rules which may cause some problems. For instance, the entire hate speech thing. Like, if you wore a t-shirt that said, oh, Hillary Clinton for prison, you know, is that offensive? To some people, probably. Would some people call it hate speech? Probably. Even though it's not.
The type of people that run these conventions, they would consider it that.
Yeah, and that's the whole problem. Like, recently, you know, this stuff has been happening. You know, SJWs have been, like, infecting the fandom like a virus.
Ember Stun Jangra said 9 out of 10 mercenaries don't want to be around kids to begin with, and that's probably for the best.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I don't want them around kids, and if you have a mersuit, you better have something else that you wear out on the con floor.
Also,
well,
gentlemen.
Most people that have a mersuit, they have like an alternative one as well. That's not a mersuit that they wear.
But God, I hope so.
Right. Take a look at the membership section of the code of conduct.
Deny or revoke for members for any reason, including but not limited to safety concerns and code of conduct violations. In the rare case that a membership needs to be revoked, we will pursue all available channels of communication to avoid surprises or misunderstandings. For the safety of our attendees, can you scroll down a little more?
Yeah. For confusion does not allow attendance by those with a history of sexual violence or pedophilia.
Understandable.
Unsure whether a bill you attend is affected by this rule, please reach out to chairman.
So in summary, you may not attend this con for any reason they deem necessary, and if you have any sort of history with sexual pedophilia assault. Or sexual assault of any kind, then they will definitely restrict you.
Should we ask Foxler to jokingly email them to see if he would make it in?
Most likely not.
I think he'll basically be removed for being a safety threat.
Oh, yeah, no, he's just a safety threat, even though the guy is the least dangerous person I've ever met.
Now, the problem that is arising from this is that they're preemptively banning people without any evidence. So another instance of guilty until proven innocent is they're preemptively banning people from this con.
You know, I wonder if I emailed them and said, hey, I'm a member of the Furry Raiders. Am I still allowed to come to this convention? I wonder what they would say.
Immediately shut down. You'd be immediately told no.
Right? And why would that be? Are these people so, like, in their own little bubbles that they just don't
I've seen some tweets where they're accusing us of protecting and harboring pedophiles and that they're not the ones at fault.
Oh, good lord. Please.
They think we're protecting, you know, saying Fox is a pedophile or saying other people are pedophile, that we're protecting them. Because I'm a part of both the Raiders and the Silvers, and lots of it is directed at both leaders.
Of course it is.
Well, either way,
that's ridiculous.
It's a lot of people are just basically, you know, going a bit up against what Furcon's amended code of conduct is. Like, they're asking, like, you know, is so and so allowed in because they're,
you know. Yeah, it's just all bullshit. It's all bullshit.
I mean, it's happening in January too, to boot. So it's basically they're cutting it a little bit close for time.
Yeah, they're gonna lose. They're not gonna lose many, but they're gonna start randomly banning people based on suspicions, and then they're gonna lose a lot of goers. They're effectively playing Russian roulette with a magazine fed handgun that's fully loaded and it's already been caught. They're playing Russian roulette with a M9.
Part of the concern for me that arises from this is the idea of just people being banned from accusations alone. So if someone just points at someone and says, oh, this person is a rapist, they just get banned.
Or if they just don't like your political ideas, if they think you're going to be offensive or a racist or a bigot or whatever, even though you're clearly not, it doesn't matter. It does not matter to these people. And that's the problem with SJWs infecting the fandom like this. They try to change things and make it, you know, so we're all just these snowflakes, you know, living in a special little bubble, and nobody else can have an opinion. And, oh, goodness, I'm sorry if you're offended by such and such. Who cares? Like, you know, grow up.
That's essentially what they've gone into there, but first and foremost, we've been kind of given that a wrap. I mean, if you're going just keep your eyes open, see, and, you know, get it there. Same protocol applies. Have a good time and hope, and just watch and see with how this con just turns out, because I know there's some drama in the California area about this.
Yeah.
But other than that, we're going to move on to the last topic of the show, and that is essentially
stuff where we're going to get next to
us, because it's been one of our hosts who couldn't make things work just for today basically brought this up to my behest, and maybe we should begin searching for alternatives from Google, and that we can you know, maybe we can start helping you out today. So, without any further ado, what I'll give you now is the fuck off Google Wiki.
Well, okay, I guess we have to label this as explicit now.
We had to, like, 30 minutes ago, it's fine.
Yeah. Joe, are you French-Canadian?
No.
Oh, I was wondering why you said excuse my German.
The DE in the link prefix.
Okay, continue.
Well, essentially, I mean, one of the hosts couldn't actually get on because of browser issues and so forth. And, you know, then Google Hangouts not working on Firefox, which is kind of prompting us. Well, I will say this straight up, that next year we will not be using Google Hangouts for our shows. Full stop. Due to other circumstances as well. Uh-huh. Not which affected us, but. But yes, you will still be able to find these shows on YouTube. It just means that you won't be able to, you know, watch it. You may or may not be able to watch them live on YouTube. We just won't, you know, using Hangouts as a streaming service.
You know, what's interesting about all these different Google alternatives is a lot of them are open source. And yes, that's something that a lot of the big tech companies don't like very much, because open source basically means that anybody could use these codes to alter it and to customize it and create their own programs. And that takes away, you know, from larger corporations trying to monopolize these platforms. So I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, we'll start again. Same deal applies from search. Let's go on, though. And emails, too, which I think people should... You should probably get into the habit of it. Like, maybe make this, you know, a habit that you should probably start in 2019 as well.
I also highly recommend to... I highly recommend to anyone to always have at least two or three emails, one being your real email, and the other two just being what I like to call spoof emails that you can use for any dodgy website or for, you know, if you need another account on your console or something. I always recommend having more than one.
Yes. They've got other providers here. Proton Mail, I personally use. There's other ones I'm not too familiar with. I also recommended cock.li.
What? What did you just say?
Cockly as a provider for emails. Sounds
hilarious. Can I have you repeat that one more time?
Why don't you make me do this? No.
You know what he said. You know what it is. Come on.
Just go play this video. Just go play the audio of this and rewind it so you can hear me say it again. Don't know. And essentially, yes. Next, we have mobile OSs are a bit of a thing later down the line.
Mm-hmm.
F-Draw, yep. GPSs, God. You know what I hate? Google Maps basically activates your location data the moment you get Wi-Fi.
Oh, I know. It's like Big Brother is always watching you. It's so creepy.
Yeah, and like it just pops up and says, do you want more precise, you know, track your device location? I'm like,
And do you guys want to know a really interesting thing that just happened recently? In regards to alternatives to Google or even alternative tech in general. What we just found out, I believe either today or yesterday, we now know that Facebook sent allowances to Netflix and Spotify that allow them to read your private messages in order to send you advertisements for TV shows and movies. So basically, Facebook is violating your privacy and sending your information to other companies that allow them to look into what your conversations are.
And well, so there's a reason.
People are very upset by this, and that's why they want to look into other alternatives, whether it be Gab or BitChute or other types of new social media platforms, because these larger companies are really not acting fairly.
There's a big reason that the Zuck is in court, after all.
Well, that's why, yeah, of course.
The Zuck suck.
The main man himself. Yeah.
Even so, I'd also recommend, you know, bailing out as well from Facebook and so forth, and just, you know,
yeah.
So forth. But at the same time, if you want a YouTube alternative, there's always stuff like PeerTube, BitChute, and other streams and so forth.
But here's the problem with using alternatives. Since stuff like YouTube and Facebook, they're already established as the dominant platforms.
The problem is they've got way too much power for their own boots to handle.
So even if you use another alternative to YouTube, it might die in the next year because YouTube is still the place to go.
Yeah, wasn't there that one YouTube alternative that just got shut down due to some laws from YouTube?
I think it's shut called down. Video. It's basically restricted.
Yeah, I think it was called Vimeo or something that they did shut down. They shut down because they couldn't sustain themselves because YouTube is still the most popular video sharing and streaming platform.
Yeah, it's like, called monopolization.
Yeah, they pretty much have a monopoly on the whole video sharing platform. Then you've got places like Twitch. Twitch is always going to be the most popular for live streaming, although they're slowly killing themselves with their terms of service. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, they'll always be the biggest in their regards. Snapchat.
Now, the problem with having one big place where everyone is that these platforms can pick and choose who has a platform. Despite the fact that they technically have the legal right to do so, it still becomes a problem when there starts becoming, you know, people just don't have a voice at all. So, for instance, recently, even in terms of entertainment, not politics, a YouTuber by the name of Mumkey Jones, all of his channels were just shut down everywhere. He was basically mass flagged by YouTube, and they shut down everything of his because he had edgy humor.
True.
Another thing is, technically what they're doing is to some extent legal because it's their private company. They can do whatever they want with. But when the people on the opposite side, you know, the left side, defend YouTube with that argument of it's a private company, they can do what they want, we could come back at them with, you know, you guys remember that story of the baker who had to go to court because he wouldn't bake stuff for a gay marriage. We could use the same argument of he runs up his own business. It's a private business. He can refuse who he wants.
I wouldn't use that argument because in the case of the baker, he actually won.
I would say that
all of these large platforms like Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, this is the modern day private square.
You have to be off of that by
9:30
because I don't
want to
hear your voice all night.
Okay.
Anyway. This is where most people talk.
Guest appearance.
You know, that's it. Really is a public platform at this point. It's not. Yeah, it's run by a private company, sure, but it's a public platform for everyone to talk.
Yeah. It's kind of
like you go to a city square. Yeah. Okay. The government might own the city square, but it's still a public area, though, for all of us to talk. So why should they restrict speech like that?
No, they should.
So your point is that the public square has, in a way, become a private square.
No, I'm saying that the public square is now online. It should be upheld. It's just like it has been in real life, even though large companies own it.
That section of the internet just to regulate it. It's just no. But either way. Can I just distract you for a little bit, just to find some alternatives as well? Mm-hmm. YouTube. At the behest of Douglas, I would suggest you go to maybe if you use Android, you can get SkyTube, an app that allows you to download and permanently store YouTube videos before they are taken off the air, including our podcast and other things as well. And it's totally detached.
I have a question regarding that. Has any of the podcasts ever been flagged?
I'm sure somebody's tried, but I have had no complaints so far. They've tried that. I have had not even complaints from iTunes.
No. Did they? I'm aware of. No.
When they found out about it, they did say, you know, please don't flag this. And I was like, oh shit. But I'm like, no.
Yeah, I think if people like Ben Shapiro can get away on the iTunes, I think we're fine.
If CNN can get away with showing dead children in Syria, yeah, I'm pretty sure you can get away with it.
Of course.
Think of the woman and children.
That's something that confused me. How did, you know, Ben Shapiro get to stay on iTunes, but they took off?
I think there's some other weird things on the line, because I don't really have a high opinion of Shapiro these days, but
I kind of like him to an extent.
That's another weird thing that happened this year. Alex Jones was completely deplatformed from everywhere ever.
Yes, he was completely
People were afraid of him, I guess.
Yes. Well, they were claiming he was a huge conspiracy theorist, but in some aspects, some things he was saying were kind of right. They didn't like him, so they took him off YouTube. They took him off Twitter. They took him off Facebook. They took him off everything they could. They took him off the app. They took InfoWars off the App Store.
Yeah.
I
think PayPal even stopped.
PayPal, and I think he even had. Did they have a Patreon? No, I don't think he did.
I don't know. I don't think.
If they did, then it was probably taken down as well.
Yes, yeah, so probably. Like it, yeah.
They have a lot of censorship on PayPal as well.
Right, and yeah, that's another thing that's going on right now is Patreon is starting to have issues, and it's starting to deny service to some people. I don't know the full story, but I know something's happening.
The basic idea is that Patreon is stopping people's accounts because of things that they do outside of the website. So if Patreon sees, oh, well, this person who's the Patreon person, getting money, said something mean on Twitter, well, Patreon's not going to support them anymore.
Isn't Patreon also cracking down on NSFW stuff?
No, that's
not really. No, that's the hypocrisy part, is that that's actually against the terms of service, but doing things outside of the platform is not. The most proper example that I can think of people getting deplatformed over stuff outside of the platform is, for example, with like Carl Benjamin or Sargon of Akkad. He just got yeeted out of there for things he did outside of the platform.
Well, didn't Sargon willingly get rid of his Patreon?
Either way.
No, he was kicked off.
They just basically, whatever, got a few phone calls like made from SPLC or whatever, and it was just gone.
Speaking of the NSFW stuff, don't a lot of, furry EF artists go through Patreon?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
And aren't a lot of those artists people that hate us?
Possibly. I don't know, maybe. I mean, most of the fandom doesn't like us because, they just don't for reasons.
Nazis re.
But at the same time, a lot of the people that are in the area they don't even give a shit.
Yeah. I've lots of my friends, I've mentioned the Raiders, and they don't know who we are at all.
Yeah.
That's really strange, but okay.
That's better than being viewed as Nazis, at least.
Yes.
Yeah,
I suppose. Anyway.
I won't name names, but like one of my great friends who I met at A&E 2017, I mentioned the Raiders to her. She had no clue who you guys are.
Huh.
Well, damn. We're not as famous as we thought.
Either way, though, I think this is pretty much, despite the fact that this is, we've had some hiccups, I think we're pretty much going to have to kind of call this a wrap, and anytime for all your listeners, we will basically give you an update on where we will host a new service.
Should we apologize for starting a little late?
No, not a problem. It happens sometimes. I've had to delay, so. No.
No. Never apologize. Never give up. Never surrender.
Yeah, that's pretty much the attitude we have to stick by. Not even at that, though.
If I Gibbs slap you, Candy, should I apologize? Okay.
Sorry to interrupt, though, but just to make your closing statements, how has your experience in the group been, throughout all 2018? Like, you two?
As I've said, I've only been there about 2 months, and in that time I've only infrequently shitposted, so pretty okay.
Should I go next? Okay. I've been with you guys for maybe 6-7 months now. It's been a interesting ride, making and losing friends, getting accused of things that aren't true by someone I considered a good friend. It's definitely been an interesting ride.
Mary.
One I will certainly stick on.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I just wanted to tell you guys something interesting. So I've been in the Raiders for 1 year. I joined on November 7th. And exactly 1 year, November 7th, from 2017 to 2018, I became an official admin of our group, which is awesome. And before that, a couple months, I was working on our podcast for a while, and it's been a really amazing experience, and I've made so many friends here, and I'm just really grateful for you guys. It's been awesome.
I aspired to be an admin. Oh, I didn't mute myself, sorry.
Not a problem, though. At least you're not exactly me, because I would never wish my position upon anybody in this social climate.
Oh, no, I would 100% want to become a furry raider admin.
I think I'll stick to my lowly peasantness of a common member.
Douglas, if you type something out, I'll read it for you. If you want to type a closing statement real quick.
We will too, don't you worry, because I know his none of his microphones have managed to work, so...
Which, you know, sucks.
Blame Google, blame Murphy.
Yeah, just blame everything that's not us.
Yeah.
Yes, blame all the things.
Except us.
Because yeah, we're not us.
Make things work here.
I'll 100% blame Jolt.
Oh, you would.
Yes, I would.
Damn it, Jolt always breaking stuff.
Every microphone he could find failed one after the other. That sucks, Douglas. That either you have, either your house has an EMP in it, or...
Oh no, don't go to conspiracy route.
I'm going to conspiracy route.
Hello, Alex Jones, V2.
Turn the friggin' frogs gay!
And that's how we get taken off YouTube.
Woohoo, demonetized.
I don't think any of these are monetized.
Kind of little though, because I think it'll eventually be able to start, you know, maybe one day we'll start getting monetized.
Yes, if we have 1,000 subscribers or more.
Not so much that, but on other services too, we can eventually get monetized. And there will always be the postures because we won't need YouTube and they'll eventually collapse.
Huh.
There is that.
I don't agree with the idea of YouTube eventually dying. I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. Especially if people come in and buy YouTube and fix it, which that probably won't happen anytime soon.
But essentially, though, I will just say this on my own kind of personal end, though. I hope you guys who've stuck here with us through thick and thin, to the best of times and the worst, has enjoyed 2018. I wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. As this is the last episode that we're going to call in for 2018, as I said. And for 2019, we'll be beginning new, a bit more of the same, a bit more of the same, you know, same me, the same Avira, the same, well,
everyone else.
I'll probably pop on for another podcast or two next year.
Don't worry, we'll call you in whenever you want.
It's going to be in the future.
I'll always ask. Douglas's message says, Merry Christmas, everyone. Sorry, it was voiceless this call.
No problem. At least it's it counts, and it's at least Christmas. That's also important to us, because in this era of everyone saying happy holidays.
Also.
Oh, yeah. Happy holidays, lads.
Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. I think there's other ones. So, I don't know.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, it's just
and Happy New Year.
It's never gonna be a Happy New Year with the current climate, but yeah.
Well, we can always hope for something better. Things
we can always hope.
Things can get worse and they probably get better. But
hope is all we have.
This is pretty much I just wanna close up by saying last of all. Our other platforms for the show, the distributors, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play Store, probably won't need. And Stitcher will be staying put, and we'll always be on the lookout for more so that you'll never have a shortage of platforms to find it in. And of course, you'll always have here. So, this is us signing off for the week, for the year. Until next time, you hear from us.
Later, lads.
Don't die between now and next year.
Don't do drugs. That's all. Don't do drugs.